भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 79, Lord Balaram goes on pilgrimage. Texts 31 through 34, the end of the chapter. Text 31, word meetings, tebhyaha, upon them, vishuddham, perfectly pure, vijnanam, divine knowledge, Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, vyatarat, bestowed, vibhu, the Almighty, yena, by which, eva, indeed, Atmani, within himself, the Supreme Lord, Adaha, this Vishvam, universe, Atmanam, himself, Vishvagam, pervading the universe, Viduhu, they could perceive. Tebhyo Vishuddham Vijnanam. Bhagavan Vyatarad Vibhu Yenai Vatman Yado Vishwam Atmanam Vishwagam Viduhu Tebhyo Vishuddham Vijnanam Bhagavan Vyatarad Vibhu Inaivatman yado vishvam Atmanam vishvagam vidu Tebhyo vishuddham vijnanam Bhagavan vyatarad vibhu Inaivatman yado vishvam Atmanam Vishwagam Vidu. Tebhyo Vishuddham Vijnanam. Bhagavan Vyatarad Vibhu. Nenai Vatman Yado Vishwam. Atmanam Vishwagam Vidu. Tebhyo Vishuddham Vijnanam. Bhagavan Vyatarad Vibhu. Ninaivatman Yado Vishwam. Atmanam Vishwagam Vidu. Devyo Vishuddham Vijnanam. Bhagavan Vyatarad Vibhu. Ninaivatman Yado Vishwam. Atmanam Vishwagam Vidu.
Ladies.
Tebhyo Vishuddham Vijnanam. Bhagavan Vyatarad Vibhu. Inaivatman Yado Vishwam. Atmanam Vishwagam Vidu.
Translation. The all-powerful Lord Balaram bestowed upon the sages pure spiritual knowledge by which they could see the whole universe within him and also see him pervading everything. We can chant together.
Svapatya vibhrita snato nyati bandhu surebhrita
je svajotna ye vendu suvasa sushralankrita.
After executing with his wife the avabrita ablutions, the beautifully dressed and ornamented Lord Balaram, encircled by his immediate family and other relatives and friends, looked as splendid as the moon surrounded by its effulgent rays. Purport. Srila Prabhupada beautifully describes this scene as follows. Lord Balaram then took the avabrita bath, which is accepted after finishing sacrificial performances. After taking his bath, he dressed himself in new silken garments and decorated himself with beautiful jewelry amidst his relatives and friends. He appeared to be a shining full moon amidst the luminaries in the sky.
Idrig vidhanya sankhyani balasya balashalinaha anantasya prameyasya mayamartyasya santi.
Countless other such pastimes were performed by mighty Balaram, the unlimited and immeasurable Supreme Lord, whose mystic yoga maya power makes him appear to be a human being.
Yonu smarita ramasya karmanya bhuta karmanaha sayam prataranantasya vishno sadaito bhave.
All the activities of the unlimited Lord Balaram are amazing. Anyone who regularly remembers them at dawn and dusk will become very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Vishnu. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, Lord Balaram is the original Vishnu. Therefore, anyone remembering these pastimes of Lord Balaram in the morning and evening will certainly become a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus his life will become successful in all respects. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 79th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Balaram Goes on Pilgrimage. Srimad Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militanena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Finishing up this chapter, we're getting some glorification of Lord Balaram. First, we hear how Lord Balaram is reciprocating with the sages, giving his blessings. Actually, just before this, just to make it clear, Balaram, he completed his whole pilgrimage. Then he went back to Hastinapur, I guess it was. The battle had ended then. And then he returned to the sages and performed some sacrifice, and he did this avabrita bath. Avabritya bath is performed at the end of every sacrifice. It's the concluding ablutions. There's a beautiful, in the pastime of Prithu Maharaj, he also performed some sacrifice and performs this bath. It's done with one's wife, so his wife didn't travel with him on pilgrimage, so he went back and got her, then he brought her to this sacrifice. His wife and his family and friends. So he and his wife are taking their bath. So with Prithu Maharaj, it's also described his bath after the sacrifice. And one of the things that's said there is that the citizens were so much appreciating, because usually the king is dressed in all his, with so much clothes and jewelry and so on. But for the avabrita bath, he's only dressed in a deer skin. So everyone gets to see him and a little more intimate view of their king. And of course, Prithu Maharaj, one of his characteristics, he was a kshatriya, and he had, of course, unlimitedly all the beauty. Kshatriyas tend to be beautiful and great stature, and so on. His beauty is described there in the fourth canto. So he has a beautiful, well-shaped, formed body, and everyone is able to see it when he takes this avabrita bath. So Lord Balaram has come to finish up this, or perform this sacrifice at the end of his pilgrimage. And it says here, Tebyo, upon them, Vishuddham Vijnanam, Vishuddham, perfectly pure, vijnanam, divine knowledge, vyatarat, he bestowed upon them. And there are different, actually several of these verses, they give some of the qualities of Lord Balaram. He's described in this verse as Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, and also Vibhu, the Almighty. So the Almighty Supreme Lord Balaram is giving this benediction. He's giving the sages pure spiritual knowledge so that they can see things. And what are they able to see as a result of that? Atmani adaha vishvam. Atmani, within himself, ada, this vishvam, this universe. So they are able to see, by his mercy, the universe within him, and atmanam vishvagam. They're able to see him, atmanam, vishvagam, gam or ga means every go, pervading. So pervading the whole universe, they're able to see him. So the universe is in him, and he is everywhere within the universe. They're able to, vidu, it says vidu, well vidu usually we say it means to know, but here it says perceive. So to know something, we say, for example, see, I see. When someone explains something to you, you say, oh, I see. You use this expression. So to perceive means to know, to see it, to be able to see it. By the mercy of Lord Balaram, they were able to see these things. So it's significant, of course, that Balaram is called Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have such an amazing philosophy. Sometimes I think, well, who could make this up? You have God, Krishna, first of all, who he is, this person. When people have this conception in their mind, they may have some picture of God, somebody old. So here's first, you know, here's Krishna, this young boy, darkish color, Shyama, Mega Shyama Lakomalango, Jayati, Jayati, Devodi Vakinandana, so Jayati, Jayati. So there's this verse that describes Krishna, Mega Shyamala. Sometimes we say Krishna's black. I remember one time I was at a Sunday feast in Baltimore. One of the guests was, I was speaking with him during prasada. He was really kind of disturbed. He was someone who was just fairly new to the temple, and it bothered him that Jagannath was black. What? God, he's not black. Krishna's not black. He's Shyama. I said, all right. We're doing our best here. So Krishna is presented generally as black. So it's true, he's not actually black, although he's called Krishna, which means black, but he's actually Shyamala, which is the color. Mega Shyamala means the color of a cloud. And our acharyas tell us that he's not black, or sometimes, of course, he's blue. Sometimes even we have some deities in ISKCON with bluish, with marble, which kind of has a blue tint to it, very beautiful. So is he blue, is he black? Well, he's Mega Shyamala, the color of a new cloud, a dark storm cloud. And of course, it's a spiritual color. So first of all, this is our understanding of God. He has this incredible form. It's like if some new person comes, so you know, we say, well, this is Krishna, and you know, who's this person next to him? Well, that's Balaram. Who's he? Well, he's God too. And then over here we have Chaitanya. Well, he's God too. And the person next to him, Nityananda, well, he's God too, actually. And so you're polytheist. No, we're monotheistic, actually. We only believe in one God. So, but this one God, he's so amazing that he can reproduce himself. We say expand. And I think this word is, maybe it's somewhat unfortunate, because what expands? You know, a balloon expands. It gets bigger. You know. So reproduce, maybe. Anyway, we use it, maybe, I don't know if it's in the dictionary the way we use it, but Krishna can duplicate himself in unlimited other forms. So his first reproduction of himself is Lord Balaram. One thing we see when we read Krishna's pastime, Joe, is of course he's God, so anything he wants, he gets. He just has to want it, and he gets it. He doesn't have to do anything. So in his pastimes, it's always like, you know, if you were to write this, like I said, you can't make this up, but sometimes you think, well, if you were making this up, this is the way you'd write the script, because just like recently, I gave class on a Sunday, and I was explaining how when Krishna returns to Vrindavan, then the Brijbasis were just about to die at that point. They were on the point of all committing suicide or just dying. It was like it had just been too long and they were finally at the point of giving up. So then Krishna arrives to save them. So Krishna does that. He's the hero. He comes just at the right time in the story to do that. So one nice thing is it had to have a big brother to watch over you. So Krishna has a big brother, naturally. And of course, because he's Krishna, just in another form, he's exquisitely beautiful. There's one purport. Actually, it's in the purport to the Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam verse, where Prabhupada explains how different incarnations of Krishna display different qualities of Krishna. So Lord Balaram, he displays especially Krishna's beauty. Lord Balaram, Lord Vamanadeva also displays Krishna's beauty. It's interesting actually about Lord Balaram, just as an aside, it's kind of questionable. He's known as a dwarf, but dwarfism is a deformity. So the word actually, Vatta, means, it can just mean Brahmana. So Gopi Pranadan Prabhu explains that. So we know, especially when he appeared, obviously he's just a child, so he's small. And when he went to Bali Maharaj, he was also small. So maybe this, you know, historically has come that he's a dwarf, but maybe, I'm not sure exactly he's a dwarf. At least it's not a disease that he has. Maybe he's a small person, but he's exquisitely beautiful. So Balaram also, he's exquisitely beautiful. Of course, we know our Lord Balaram. I had to remember with the installation as soon as we saw it. It was like, oh, so beautiful. So Krishna, of course, is beautiful. Balaram is so beautiful. So he has all these qualities. And of course, he's powerful. Bala, he's so powerful also. Here he's showing his power by giving spiritual vision in this pastime. That's a kind of power. So it's like if you're an empowered teacher and you can convince people of things. So if you're empowered with full power that Krishna has, you can allow people to see Vishuddha Sattva. They can see the pure spiritual, Vijnana actually, Vishuddham Vijnanam. You can give pure spiritual knowledge. You can bestow it upon people. Because otherwise, of course, we can't see. Unless we have that power, Nayamatma Balahinena Labhya. Prabhupada would quote this line in the Upanishads. Without Bala, without the mercy of Balaram, then you can't understand Atma. Atma in this context means Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have to have power. The Prabhupada, when he would quote this, he would say, it doesn't mean physical strength. Apparently, there are people who actually believe on the strength of this verse, by reading this verse, they actually think it means physical strength. So they think, you know, if I build up my muscles, that's going to help me understand God. So people get some pretty strange ideas. So Prabhupada said, no, that's not what the Bala is about. And the Bala is spiritual strength, and that spiritual strength comes from the Supreme Lord. Actually, there's an interesting quote. Did I write that down here? Prabhupada says something nice about here it is. This is from a purport in the seventh canto, 15th chapter, verse 45. Gyanasim, the sword of knowledge, is given by Krishna. So Krishna gives the sword of knowledge. And when one serves the Guru and Krishna, in order to hold the sword of Krishna's instructions, Balaram gives one strength. Balaram is Nityananda. So Krishna gives the sword of knowledge, and the strength to hold that sword of knowledge comes from Lord Balaram. I guess it's sort of like, you know, you learn something, but you don't have the strength to hold it. You take it in, you put that weight of knowledge into your mind, but then it tends to go away. So to actually be able to hold it, especially transcendental knowledge, to hold on to it, that strength to hold that comes from Lord Balaram. So Balaram, he has great strength. Of course, he likes to show that strength sometimes with his fighting, with his powerful club, or as he did with the Kuru dynasty, dragging the Yamuna.
Actually, I just discovered recently, I don't know why it took me so many years to understand this, but I, at least according to what's on Google, I always had the idea that Hastinapur was actually in New Delhi, and that the Yamuna, because it says that Parikshit Maharaj went to the bank of the Ganga. So I thought, they must be just calling the Yamuna the Ganga. But actually, Hastinapur is not right there in Delhi. It's something like 60, 70 kilometers north of Delhi is where Hastinapur. It's in a town called Meerut, or near the town called Meerut. So the Ganga flows up there, about 60 miles or so north of Delhi, and the Yamuna goes through Delhi. So Hastinapur is up there. That's where the Pandavas were ruling, up there in Hastinapur. And down below, or closer to Delhi, they're not quite as sure. They're pretty sure that, you know, archaeologists, historians, or wherever, this is actually where Hastinapur was, on the bank of the Ganga up there north of Delhi. And then just south of Delhi is where they think Indraprastha was. And in fact, I think there's probably some Indraprastha bazaar there now or something like that. But it's commonly known that this was, you know about this, Madhumati? I was reading this on the internet. Apparently that's the way they think today, that Indraprastha was down there closer to Delhi, but up above is where Hastinapur was. So in any case, it's described that Lord Balaram pulled the Yamuna, so now I'm thinking, wait a minute, maybe it was the Ganga, not the Yamuna. Is it described that he pulled the Ganga? Does anyone remember? Which river did he pull? It's described as the Yamuna, right, in our books. Yeah. So anyway, it's a little confusing. But anyway, I always thought that Hastinapur was right there in Delhi, but apparently Hastinapur was north of present-day Delhi. Delhi became very big, especially when the Mughals came. They made it their capital, and it grew up around them. So in any case, Balaram has this great power, Bala, and he also is Ram. So what is Rama? Rama means Ramante Yogino Anante Satyanande Chidatmani Iti Rama Padena So Param Brahma Vidyate. The absolute truth is called Ram because he's the source of all pleasure. So Balaram, of course, he gives pleasure in many ways. His beauty itself is pleasurable to observe, and it's certainly pleasurable to get the transcendental knowledge that one receives from Lord Balaram, that ability to perceive. These sages were blessed to get perception of these amazing truths, that Balaram is the source of everything, or he's within everything, and everything is within him. Actually, one thing I found interesting is that in the third chapter of the first canto, we have the incarnations are listed. So I was just curious, because we have the verse in that chapter, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, Ete Changsa Kalapung Sang Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So it says, this list of Angsa and Kala, first of all, you find this often in the Bhagavatam, these two go together. Prabhupada generally translates Angsa. Angsa just means a part, or a limb sometimes is translated. So, or a portion. Prabhupada would often translate a plenary portion and a portion of a plenary portion. So the word plenary means full. So one would think that, Prabhupada would always use it in the context of Vishnu Tattva. But he doesn't restrict it to that, actually. In fact, what Prabhupada often uses the word plenary portion when it's the next expansion, first in line. So he'll call that expansion, whether it's Vishnu Tattva or not, he'll often call plenary portion. So he doesn't restrict that term, plenary portion, to Vishnu Tattva. So anyway, we get Angsha and Kala. So Angsha is portion and portion of plenary portion, or first expansion and expansion from the expansion, Angsha and Kala. But Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayams, but Krishna is Bhagavan. So I was curious, I was thinking, I wonder if Bhagavan comes up in any other place, because Vishnu Tattva we often refer to as Bhagavan. So I looked in that chapter to see if Bhagavan comes up again. So it actually comes up in the first verse of that chapter, where it says that Bhagavan expands as the Purusha incarnations. So here you get the idea that Bhagavan is the original, and then from him expands the Purushas. In fact, Jiva Goswami in the Bhagavad Sandarbha, he makes a distinction between Bhagavan and Purusha. One thing, the Purushas are
they're connected with this material world, so it's kind of a lower status, you might say. But Bhagavan is completely in the transcendental atmosphere. So that it comes up in that first verse that Bhagavan is expanding as all these incarnations. And it comes up in the verse that describes Krishna and Balaram. So Balaram is also mentioned as Bhagavan in this chapter. In fact, you often see when Balaram's name is mentioned, some superlative adjective will be given. He'll be called Bhagavan, or he'll be called the unlimitedly powerful, or something like that. There's a whole list in fact, I think I wrote it down here too also, but where, I think it's in the 15th chapter, the first canto, what's happening. I think maybe there, Krishna's arriving somewhere or leaving somewhere, but Balaram, there's a whole list of people have mentioned, and when Balaram, none of them are given any adjectives next to their name, but when Balaram is mentioned and it says the superhumanly powerful. So this is a typical thing that we see in the Bhagavatam, that when Lord Balaram is mentioned, his identity as the Supreme Lord is often pointed out in the context of just mentioning his name. So he's, of course, he's especially Krishna. Now, the thing that's amazing about, well, amongst so many things about Balaram is that really everything comes from Balaram, basically. You have Krishna, he expands as Balaram, and then from Balaram, within the Chaturvyuha, Balaram expands Mahasankarshan. Then from Mahasankarshan, Narayan, and then the Purusha avatars, and from them, all of the avatars come through. And really, this whole world expands. So Krishna is basically the supreme enjoyer, and Balaram's doing all the work, kind of. Krishna's just enjoying with the gopis and his friends. And Balaram, from him, everything is really expanding. So in that sense, Balaram is really Vasudev. In the Bhagavad Gita, where it says, Vrishninam, whatever, aham vasu, whatever, however it goes, of the Vrishnis, I'm Vasudev. So, of course, we tend to think, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Vasudev, we usually think of Krishna, the son of Vasudev. But there, Vishwanath and Baladev, and they explain that this Vasudev is actually Balaram, or it can also be Vasudev, according to some Sanskrit grammatical rule, it can also be Vasudev, the father of Krishna and Balaram. But the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says this is, because Krishna wouldn't be saying among the Vrishnis, I'm Krishna, because he's Krishna, so it's kind of redundant. So what he's saying is among the Vrishnis, I'm Balaram. So Balaram is Vasudev. Now what does Vasudev mean? It means one whose vasa, which means place, residence, is everywhere. So it refers especially to the all-pervasiveness of the Supreme Absolute Truth, that word, Vasudev. So that is, you might say, that's especially Balaram, because he's the one who expands everything. Everything comes out from him. And Krishna's just enjoying him. So that, of course, that also is an indication of his power, you might say. He displays Krishna's power by manifesting everything, the whole material and spiritual world. So, there's a few points about this. At a late start, I'll just stop here. Did I read anything or just take any questions? Since we had four verses, I'll just stop. Janashtami Prabhu, you have your hand halfway up already.
I'm drawing a blank. Who is Balaram's wife?
Revati?
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, one thing I want to do, this is just a little trivia. I'll call it trivia, but it's not trivial, obviously. But something about Balaram. Does anyone know who Balaram's main girlfriend is? She's mentioned, actually. Her name is Purnananda. Purnananda. Probably calls her chief girlfriend, so I assume she's like his Radharani. But this is mentioned in the context in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the tree of Lord Chaitanya, where different devotees are mentioned. So Gadadhar Das, not Gadadhar Pandit, Gadadhar Das, he's a combined incarnation of Chandrakanti, Chandrakanti, who's the effulgence of Srimati Radharani, Chandrakanti. So he's combined incarnation of Chandrakanti and this Purnananda, who is the Balaram's chief girlfriend. So, of course, he has his whole... I was saying, we really don't know much about Balaram Tattva in that sense, about what Balaram does in the spiritual world. Our acharyas are fixated on Krishna. We're the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, not Balaram Consciousness. But of course, he's still God. So anyway, it's a little detail. Purnananda is the chief girlfriend of Lord Balaram. Yes.
We know Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita, and then there's the Uddhava Gita. Is there a Balaram Gita? We don't hear much of his spoken words. No?
Yeah, Balaram Gita. Not that I know of. I'm trying to think, even in the Bhagavatam, are there any places where Balaram speaks extensively? And he chastises the Kurus. He speaks a little bit there. Even I was reading, because we're so fixated on Krishna, I went to the section where Krishna is glorifying Balaram at the beginning. I think it's the Dinakasura chapter. And Krishna says, just see how the trees are bowing down to touch your feet and so on. So the acharyas say that actually Krishna's talking about himself, but didn't want to really say it because it wouldn't seem right. So he's saying, Balaram, it's you. But in his mind, he's thinking, actually, it's me. They thought, you know. Yeah.
So about Vamandev, I was remembering Sridhar Swami's purport to that verse. He describes Vamandev, he explains the word Vaman in two ways. One is that Vaman is small, and the other is that Vaman makes small the pride of those who are proud.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the reason for his avatar. So
yeah,
he cuts down the pride.
So maybe he's short, but he's not deformed.
When you were discussing Balaram as the strength, the spiritual strength, I was thinking of a couple places, like it says, wherever the mind wanders, once you bring it back, you know, how do you bring it back? What's that strength? And just recently it came to me that it's a penance, tapasya. In other words, when Prabhupada gave that example, he says, there's some tendency, but you check that tendency. So that checking that tendency, he called it tapasya or penance. And then, of course, 2.9.23, he says, O sinless Brahma, you may know me that it was me who first ordered you to undergo penance when you were perplexed about your duty. Such penance is my heart and soul, and therefore penance and I are not different. So get down it. Because that seems to me at this point, you know, how we're getting rid of the inertia. We've been given this knowledge. The mind is still presenting different ideas of sense gratification before us, but we don't listen to them because of the Shastra, which is also Balaram, which is intellectual property, you know what I'm saying? All this knowledge is from Balaram, the original guru. So when we listen to that penance, and then of course Krishna is very pleased with that, we see it with Brahma, we see it with others that should undergo that. Bringing the mind back by the strength of Balaram. That makes sense.
Yeah, sure. Of course, it's like anything else. The more you do it, the stronger you get. You know, just like lifting weights, and the more you lift. So, like that story we heard from Trivikram about Gandhari. The Prabhupada comments on this as a lecture he gives. And he puts it in the... Because of her austerity, she had that power that she could fortify Duryodhana's body. So he puts it in that context. He talks about, you know, performing the austerities that we're given, four regulative principles and so on, that we get power from that. We get spiritual strength. So, of course, that spiritual strength is coming from Balaram. The more we practice it, the stronger we get. The more we're able to resist temptation. All right, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.